right, go for it.
All right, I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Four Point Channel Landmark District Commission for Thursday, July 12, 2018. And present are Commissioners Gorganian and Brody, and myself, Beriducci. So we'll have Nicholas make a quick statement first, and then we'll get into the agenda.
If anyone's here for 374 Congress, the application has been removed due to an outstanding zoning issue, so they will not be heard tonight, so.
Okay, thank you. All right, so the one and only design review application is application number 18.501, 55 Thompson Place. The proposed work is at the front facade, replace the entry door, restore existing canopy, install new address identification, repoint masonry, demolish the and reconstruct existing walkways, ramps, and railings, replace lighting, remove and pave over plant bed. So if the applicant wants to come forward and introduce yourselves and get started, will be great. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. So guys, I have the digital presentation, so the arrows forward and back, and then the red line is for a pointer.
Okay, terrific. Mm-hmm.
Do you have one of these? Oh, you can get
Well, good evening, everyone. My name is James Mackey. I'm with Westland Architects. And tonight we're presenting some proposed renovation and restoration to 55 Thompson Place. We're currently working on a project, or we're going to be starting a project for some interior renovations, and ownership wanted to kind of clean up and change the appearance or freshen up the appearance of the exterior entry for the building. The first thing that we'll start with is that there is an existing entry canopy. That canopy will be remaining. This canopy will be remaining. There's a little bit of restoration work that needs to be done to the metalwork on there just because of some water corrosion and some work to gutters and the downspout, which is over here, but otherwise that'll be staying in place. What we do propose to do though, right now it's painted black. We're going to paint it a dark bronze, not a dramatic departure from the color that's already there. The reason for the dark bronze is that the existing doors, which are down, which are here, both sets in the vestibule, the doors are in pretty tough shape, so we're going to replace the doors as well. And when we do that, we'd like to change that color to a dark bronze so that it contrasts with the existing anodized aluminum system, which is existing here. The existing doors, which I just mentioned, will be replaced. Originally had pivot hinges when they were first installed. That became deteriorated. They were then given continuous hinges, but the doors were then separated because of how they went back together again. So there's a lot of issues as far as controlling drafts and air and thermal exchange and everything from the outside, which is the reason for that. The next part is the entry stairs here. There's these granite pylons, stainless steel handrails, and then there are granite treads and granite pavers, which are up here. There's a good picture of it right there. And what it does is it curves around from the front facade or the street facade and kind of curves around and follows the form of the building. We find that these are sometimes inefficient and how people are walking up and down them, and also they're starting to take quite a beating as far as their condition is concerned. So we would like to remove these and to replace them with this angled stair arrangement. Oops. With this angled stair arrangement, these would be precast treads that would be going back in here. We'd be putting in new stainless steel handrails. Granite pavers would be going back up on the top landing, and then we would be placing granite pavers in here rather than the brick pavers that are currently here. This right here is the City of Boston sidewalk, but once it goes past the property line, it's our understanding that this would then be pavement that we could change ourselves. The pavement that's in here, or the bricks that are in here right now, are again starting to get in pretty rough condition, settling. So we'd like to take the opportunity to convert these to granite, change these. These are currently granite pavers. We'd be going back with a very similar color to that. This right here is a picture of those pavers, and we'd be going back with the same color. and this would be proposed color for the precast treads, which would replace the granite ones.
Do you have any idea when that entrance configuration was installed?
October of 98.
Okay. Yeah. So not all that old, so.
The original building, that was an extension onto the building back in October of 98. It opened Thompson Financial when they occupied the building. They renovated it and they added that lobby entrance to the original construction, which was 1914.
Thanks.
What we also plan to do is we are going to leave. Right now there is an existing ramp, which is back here. There is an existing ramp located right here. Again, the bricks are in pretty tough shape and how they've settled and everything. There's also some existing lighting that was built into this wall that is corroded. We'd like to just take that out. All they are the boxes and they're all rusted, so we were going to replace those, take those out. Replace the paving here. This planter, which is along here, we were going to remove that and continue the paving. And that way it would open up some more room here for pedestrian way from the parking lot and also for the street. Signage-wise, there was recently an approval for signage on this wall, and that's reflected in the drawings. Another request which ownership had is that we put address identification up here on the curved front of the canopy.
Can you just clarify, if you do what you want to do, how much the sidewalk will still be brick, but the other brick will be gone? Is that
yes,
including on the ramp?
Yes. Yeah. So this is what's existing now, where this is brick here, and there's brick all the way out, of course, to the curb. But that portion is part of this property here, and then it is granite paver up on top of the landing now.
And so go to the proposed plan, just so I can see the difference. Okay, so you're going to keep that.
So there'll be a little bit of contrast between steps and the pavers.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we weren't going to have the same dark gray for that, exactly.
I mean, outside of the what might be obviously a cost issue, is there any reason why you're not going to go back to granite treads?
It was a cost issue.
I mean, I just feel like that's going to be especially that sharp, acute angle there, that's going to be vulnerable to chipping a lot when it's precast. It's much more vulnerable to that than granite would be. But anyway, so, all right, well, why don't you continue through or are you done?
I think that's all the items, yes.
And there were some planter issues do you show the plan in where the planters are in existing condition?
Yes.
Okay, it's just that skinny strip.
Yeah, it's just this little strip right here, yeah. And there were some hedges or something that were planted in there.
Yeah.
And those are
which are dead.
Yeah. Well, yeah, with all the construction in that area, and there's a lot of dirt and debris, and a lot of things have started to deteriorate.
And so these are, what are these little, what is that in this? Those are existing
planters. Those are also planting.
Those are existing planters, yeah. Planting areas. And when I say planter, it's really more grass or trees that are planted there.
Yeah, there's a tree right there and a couple of trees right in the upper area that we basically have a mulch bed.
So can you show that?
Those will remain.
Can you show what goes beyond it? I mean, more in context, do you have anything that shows those planted areas that are?
Yes. And it's not great, but this right here is a little triangle of space where there's a tree. And then over here, there's some planting between the accessible parking spaces and the sidewalk. And there are flagpoles, which are in
there. There are what?
Flagpoles.
Oh, flagpoles.
Which would remain.
And so what's in the planters currently? Is there anything healthier growing in there now, those planted areas?
I want to check on Google Maps.
There's nothing.
Nothing.
No, I usually plant something in the spring. Did not do anything this year due to the amount of construction in the area. I've been getting bombarded by our neighbors across the street with dirt and debris.
So what is your plan for that spot then? Are you going to replant it or what?
On the L-shaped area?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would probably just do annual flowers.
Is this Thompson? This is Thompson. Okay.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's Seabrook Boulevard there. Okay.
That's an old pitch. Yeah, Seabrook. Yeah. Oh, I see. Oh, right. Basically bottom.
All right, so you got, is the tree there still?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's doing fairly well.
Yep. So,
tree is healthy and large, and it does will be pruned a little, but it just, the actual area there with the opening of Watermark Seaport next to us, it's become a dog laboratory.
Well, so how, I mean, my guess, my point is that it would be nice to, is there a way to help prevent that from happening? I mean, so that you can keep something growing in here? Or either that or get rid of it?
Did you call out that being?
No.
Yeah, that's not paid.
That was part of my scope.
Yeah, but that's not being paid.
No, oh no.
Yeah, so if it's actual earth and implantable, we would end up planting something there.
Okay, so along that, where that 88 ramp
is? Yeah, with no, where the L shape.
Right in here. The L shape.
Yeah,
and then there's a little triangle space back here.
And the triangle space would remain also, but the front portion adjacent to the parallel to the ramp would be eliminated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of
Yeah, there's no bushes there right now.
I mean, I'm guessing part of why there's nothing growing is people are trampling it too, walking over it and
There was a lot of trampling in over the past couple of winters. A lot of damage to the shrubbery in front of the ramp due to the amount of snow, especially a couple of years ago. It was pretty much buried.
But again, just to clarify that L-shaped section terminating where the tree is, that you will put some annuals in.
That would be planted. Kind of if that's going to remain dirt and soil, that would be planted, yes.
Yeah, because it's just bare dirt now.
I put mulch there and the dogs like that. Do you live there? That's okay, I love all the dogs. I talk to them every day. They love to go by and kick the mulch out and mess, so.
Yeah. I'm sorry, sir, what was your name for the record?
Paul Lanza. I'm with Holt Tissen, representing the owner of 55 Thompson Street Investments.
All right, and now if you can go back to your plan of the proposed work.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
That's me. All right, there you go.
That's, yeah, okay. That's, yeah. Okay. So let me see this. So there's the tree. I'm just trying to get a sense of the space here. Well, I mean, I'm glad you're doing granite, I guess. I don't know. I don't have much of a you guys do.
The only thought that pops into my head is, as I recall, the entirety of that sidewalk on both sides of Thompson Place is brick, the whole way back down to Congress Street.
It is. Like,
yeah. Right, so,
yeah.
And then, but if I'm seeing this right, is the color scheme, is that meant to be brick there across the top?
Yes, that's actually the width of the sidewalk and the
that's curve. Okay, so that's the sidewalk and that will remain brick.
Oh, yes.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry,
yep.
Sorry, I was thinking the granite.
Yeah, similar to across at 44 where they put the asphalt, but they're going to turn that back into brick.
We had some staff comments about a planter. So the planter that you were referring to is the one, the skinny one here that's gone?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's more of a planting bed rather than a container.
Yeah, that was about 18 inches in depth, I believe.
Yep. Yeah.
Wasn't much.
And this wall is a taper. It goes down, right? It's not straight across at the top.
Wall is straight across.
The
wall is straight across at the top.
Oh, it is straight.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And then the ramp
tapers down. I didn't realize that. All right. So then you're going to be taking out the doors only.
Yes, and just the doors.
And so, what color are the windows beyond, the metal for the windows? Is that anodized bronze or is that black?
It'll be bronze.
No, the windows that exist. These windows that
those
exist.
Those are anodized aluminum.
Are they, are they bronze? I think they're dark bronze, aren't they? Are they black?
The windows on the building are black?
Yeah,
those are black.
Okay.
So you're talking about
No, I'm talking about the windows. Like, and my question is, why are you going to bronze now versus keeping it black? I just want to hear your rationale to that. You said you're going to make the doorways bronze and you're going to repaint the canopy bronze instead of the black, which is black, I presume, to match the metal of the windows and stuff.
Okay.
I think
it was, the color you were picking was very close to black, to kind of give it a little bit of a, in a lot of the buildings on the street have the bronze.
I know they do, but usually it's because there's bronze elsewhere on the building, so, I mean, I don't know, it could be, it could work either way, I suppose.
I kind of agree with you, David. Yeah, I mean, why not keep it?
Keep it in the same family.
So just the door, and I think that's...
No, so door and canopy.
And then the canopy will be repainted
identical
black.
To the window frame.
Right, but you've got like...
That's all white or on...
Granite or is this a...
No, it's aluminum. That's aluminum.
Right, so this is not going to be black here.
No, they're just going to take the doors. I mean, this whole, all this is not, is like the silver aluminum, and then these are existing.
And that's going to stay.
Yes.
These are going to stay. I mean, I guess there's rationale to, you know, taking it and highlighting just the front doors. I mean, you're not going to replace all of this. And then actually, this doesn't bother me because it does highlight the entry a little bit too. So, I mean, it's not that it's anything historic by any means.
There is also that bronze color on the interior. That was, they wanted to kind of have the interior project out to the exterior on the connection to the street. And there was that color that kind of dark bronze or almost a chocolate color was used as an accent color on the interior.
In that little vestibule. Two sets of doors?
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
So there's a vestibule before the second set of doors.
Yeah, and both sets would be that color.
I mean, I don't know. I just don't see going to bronze at this point since there's so much black. All this is black here on the building beyond it. This parapet edging, downspouts.
Well, I kind of see your point though now because if the flow into the building is, you know, that vestibule, which is also that bronze.
There's metal doors in the vestibule.
And both sets would be replaced, yeah.
What color are the interior ones now?
Right now, the two sets of doors on the airlock are all the clear anodized ones.
Oh, so they could all be black too.
Well, you're not changing the vestibule doors, are you? You are.
But the inside, some of the work we're doing inside, along with the signage that is going on the backlit directory that was approved earlier, was the bronze tone color.
This was approved as bronze.
I believe so.
Well, I mean, I like the numbers. I think that's a good, the letters announcing the address, I think that's good.
I'm sure you guys thought of this, but maybe rejected it, but what about bronzing the upper windows as well, the arch window across the top, and the stays the whole
Well, for right now, I assume that was a cost consideration that the ownership had. They weren't going to do any further work on that. We'd already done, I think a couple of years ago, we already did like some wet sealing and things like that, but there wasn't any talk of actually changing.
Because that's a vaulted, like, atrium.
Oh, yeah.
It goes back. It's not just the facade.
Okay, well, piece.
Yeah, and it goes in, yeah.
And last question, the railings on the new... stairs coming up. Mm-hmm. Are they going to be bronze or are they going to be silver?
Stainless. Yeah, they'll be stainless. Yep.
And you're replacing all the railings, even the railings on the ramp too?
Yes.
Or no?
Yes.
Yep.
All right. I have a curious question here then. What are these boxes of railings going up here? What are those for?
Oh, those are the vertical members that are holding the railings up. The ownership didn't like the look of, say, a typical handrail configuration where you just have a vertical post. So they asked us to try to come up with something that was a little more visually interesting and had a little difference to it.
Yeah, I think it makes it busy. Because I also think what you're not showing is that, you're not showing the interim rail. Doesn't there have to be another railing lower down that you would see by the time you got up here? Isn't it like 18 inches up, I think, has to be a second rail like that one has now? There has to be two railings for the ramp.
Yeah, so if someone's in a wheelchair, they can reach out and hold it.
And you're not showing that here, which would be visible, I think, by the time you got up to here.
Yes.
You know? So
Yep.
I don't know that these do anything really. It just adds more angles and more stuff versus if you just stopped them at the railing and didn't have this piece here. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it seems.
It looks like in reality it would be kind of confusing looking too.
Yeah, exactly. And ramp railings are busy enough and odd enough because of the angle. And to introduce these, which are, okay, they're parallel to the building, but they're at three different heights now, so you got all that going on. I still see it as a necessary part to this. I think it would be better just cleaned up and left off. And just have it, you know, whatever, however many verticals you need to support it.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's, and even here too, you got the same thing going on here.
Yes.
I just don't see that as a. Unless the other commissioners have an issue with that, I would simplify and get rid of that whole upper box-like thing. And keep it as simple as you can. Otherwise, I don't have any problem. I mean, I would like to see granite stairs again. But you'll soon see if they start to chip. I just want to make sure you're going to be, you know, you're not going to have this be muddy here and this will be planted. Otherwise, I'd rather see it get rid of it, or put granite cobbles in it, and get rid of the planting area itself, and have that around the flagpoles versus.
So this portion over here.
Yeah.
The L shape. Okay.
I mean, you could just put granite cobbles that are, because I know cobbles are not a material that is good for accessibility, but in that case, it's not intended to be an accessible space.
Right.
And if they're put in so that there's, you'd have to make sure there's going to be water that percolates through so that they get, because I don't see any water really getting in. I don't know where these trees are getting their water, to be honest with you.
Only counterpoint to that is that without the scraggly shrubs anymore, it is going to be pretty sort of simple and
austere.
That's the word I'm searching for exactly. So the L shape doesn't really bother you too much. The parking area also.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it as long as it's not mud.
Really.
Well, I mean, I think if this is the entrance, I assume they have an interest in it looking attractive for the people that are coming in.
Yeah.
So you'll have the budget, in other words, to keep that planted up as necessary to.
Just because that whole surface around there is incredibly hot, it gets a lot of reflected and direct sun all day virtually. And to have a little bit of green in there, it's not bad. I don't think it's bad.
Yeah.
And the dogs are like,
yeah. Oh, I see. Here's the plants.
Place it with the plants. That's regular.
All right. So, what size are these 12 by 12s, the pavers?
Yes.
And these are going to be set on gravel. They're not. It's not going to be set on a concrete bed, is it?
No.
Yeah.
I just have a question about. Were you in
what? Okay.
About the masonry? Mm-hmm. Are you going to do some tests for the color and of the?
Oh yes, absolutely.
Oh yeah, well, yeah. They've done considerable work on the building already, and that they've always, with PJ Spillane, has always been presented in the colors are pretty much dead on.
Yeah. And the repointing is for maintenance purposes. Just as long as we're taking all this stuff out, we're doing the work there, we can set up some staging and make sure that the joints are repointed. If there were any holes from past signage or anything like that, we'll seal those, that kind of thing.
So. All right, so I guess then the issue is if we're okay with the being a bronze, as long as it's a deep bronze color, I guess that would be. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
And the yeah, and get rid of, like I said, I think if we're all in agreement to not have these box-like forms come up.
Okay.
And just have whatever you need to do to support it, and have the support, the vertical support, stop at the rail itself. And so everything else, I think, is.
And then it says replace lighting.
Oh yeah, where that's on the inside of the wall. What is that?
That's yeah. That was on the inside of the wall. We're actually going to remove it.
They're removed.
Oh, you're just,
yeah, we're just removing
they
it. Yeah,
they're rotted. Yeah.
But you don't need it.
They no longer are operable.
Right, so but you don't need lighting there.
No, well, when we clean all this up, we already have a lighting on the side above by that window there, on the very last window on the left, that when that comes on, that will be well lit.
All right.
And there is lighting out there, it's just, you know, you don't see the light itself because it's, you know, it's blocked by the tree.
Is there lighting recessed in that canopy?
No.
No?
No. All right. In the lighting in the vestibule area and from the lobby, which
is
on because of its emergency lighting, does illuminate in the front area too. And we'll have a backlit sign also.
All right. Is there a public comment? Okay, no comments. So does someone want to do a motion?
So I'm moving to approve the application. With the provisos that the bronze, that the doors are a very dark bronze, that the extra
metal work
on the railing that is removed, mm-hmm. and
I think
that was it, right? That's
okay. Can you send that to me so that I can make sure and take a look and put it in the record, the metal work?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's
oh, so
back
revised
to
drawing. Yeah, the right.
Revised that. Drawing should go back to staff of
yeah.
the handicap railing.
Yeah, I think that was all that we had. So, all right, second.
I'll second that.
Okay, Commissioner Gorganian?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
Chair votes yes.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Guys.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Robotics
staying in the room.
Yeah, software.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still doing it.
If you could just, you could recycle those. There's a recycle,
yeah,
or keep them, and then I'll just keep this one.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
I actually wrote on mine, so you might want to toss it.
Oh, all right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
Pretty yeah. interesting.
Thanks.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, it's good. All right. Thank you. Take care.
All right. We have one advisory here. All right, this we have an advisory review for Channel Center. Applicant is Margulies Peruzzi Architects regarding at the A Street facade install wayfinding blade signs. So,
is this the time where we approach? We
approach and introduce yourself. And
thanks for asking. Nate, what's the address of this building?
You know, that's a good question. The property owners might be able to answer that correctly. Historically, it's been like six different A Street numbers, but I think when the project was redeveloped.
Okay. I got some pushback on not.
Okay.
Yeah, so from, yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can follow up.
So whenever you're ready.
Oh, sure.
Nate.
Sure. Well, since this is the first time here for the property owners, I thought it might be helpful just to give a 30-second intro from their perspective, and then I can jump in on the design part.
Great.
So I'm Allie Chadbourne. I'm with Jones Lang LaSalle, who manages 10 and 20 Channel Center on behalf of LaSalle Investment Management. They acquired the property approximately a year and a half ago, and since the acquisition, we've been working with Margulies Peruzzi Architects on various renovation ideas and ways that we can improve the building and just make it more of a value add for the Fort Worth community. One of our main initiatives thus far is providing some wayfinding and enhancing the street presence for both our building and also the Channel Center community. So that's pretty much it, and I'll let Nate from MPA take it over from here.
Thank you. So hopefully that helps give you a little bit of bearing. So been here before, I'm kind of familiar with some of the landmarks thoughts on things. So I just wanted to walk you through the overall vision we have for this property. And I'll just kind of quickly orient you. There's a couple of talking points here, but you know, in terms of, see the laser is the top button?
Yep.
Perfect. You can see how we're at kind of, you know, a far end of the district. And this is kind of a unique spot in the district in that on one side, you certainly have a cluster of historical buildings. And on the other, you have a very manufacturing intense property across the street. So what we're trying to do is understanding the importance of this property along the A Street path, trying to make more people aware of, you know, just not only the size of it, but the importance of it within the neighborhood. And the challenge is the formal entries are actually on a, you know, conceivably the back side of the building here along what used to be Midway, you know, Street. And yet the front of the building is facing A Street, and it doesn't feel like as much of a front of the building as it should be, as it deserves. So now we're challenged with how do we create an identity working within sort of historical parameters and not doing anything too egregious. So
hopefully not.
Exactly. So here, you know, we could have chosen a couple of different views. This one kind of gives you an idea of the overall facade, where you can see that you know, this lower story building, this is, you know, I'm doing my research, and once upon a time there were all single story wood structures here. This was the first brick portion that went up on this block. And then each of these clusters of buildings were set up following, you know, subsequent years. And they were broken up with party walls so that, you know, several businesses could actually be arranged, you know, neck to neck, almost creating this kind of, you know, collaborative. So now you have a collection of different era buildings that have similar scale and proportion that are all kind of treated as one. So now when you try to tell people to go someplace, you're asking yourself, well, if, you know, we go to 10 versus 20 Channel Center, which lobby is that? And coming down A Street, there aren't really any visual wayfinding cues. So we're trying to find a subtle way of doing this without doing too much, you know, loud interaction, visually engaging features. So you know, I'm sure you're going to have questions and comments as we work through this. But this view is a bit deceiving because this is a zoomed in view from maybe a portion of the A Street, the Summer Street crossover, like where Melcher and, you know, Blue Dragon is. If you're zooming way down, maybe as you're crossing over Summer Street Bridge from South Station, you have an amazing telephoto lens, but you don't really get this view. You get more of a parallel viewpoint where the whole building facade just kind of disappears to one side of your periphery. So these are the existing entryways, and you'll notice there's a couple of things here. There's a double door entryway for both 10 and 20. There's a subtle numbering placard off to the side, and then you have the Boston Wharf Company logos kind of floating up in a clear horizontal portion of the brick, which is kind of, it falls in line with a whole bunch of buildings within the area. There's numerous placement opportunities, but you only see this really if you're standing across the street. So
you only see what?
You only get this experience, you know, looking straight on when you're on the other side of the property. So you imagine a business visitor or someone taking an Uber there, this is the general wayfinding challenge. The moment at which you know you're there, you're already driving by it. So this is the middle of the building. There isn't a formal entry, but you still have Boston Wharf Company logos because it was a, you know, different time stamp. But this isn't really an entry point. I just wanted to show this for reference because it will become part of the design dialogue in the later slides. So now if you think about it, we've seen two different entries, each having one Boston Wharf Company medallion, the middle of the building having two medallions, and we're starting to get an understanding of all the existing conditions and things we're trying to respect as we go forward. Any questions so far? Keep going.
I would keep going.
Yep.
Tell us what you want to do.
So now it comes to the big reveal. So what we are looking at is trying to highlight the entries. So we have 20 over here and 10 over here. Give you a frame of reference, State Street is on this side and Barlow's is on this side, where we want to highlight the entries in one fashion and then highlight the building in another fashion. So you kind of have a universal exterior blade sign gesture where we're talking about a 3-foot depth sign that goes up a couple of floors so it can be viewed from a distance. And as part of that, we want to adjust the location of the medallions so they're in line with the...
The Boston Wharf medallions?
Yes.
I wouldn't go that way.
Okay. Oh, well, I'm glad you brought that up.
I can't imagine moving them.
No. Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. I'm glad you had that initial response. So, just to recap, this would be unifying the whole building, and then these would be focusing on the entry points. So here's a little cross-section of the relationship of the signs to the street. And here's just some preliminary mounting details, understanding that any bolts or fasteners would want to be going into the mortar joints and being respective of the existing construction, so it's not as much of a permanent situation. And this is the part where we're working on the appropriate scaling of this at the moment in terms of wind loads and what the building could support. So moving right along, these are some of the design thoughts we've had where we're trying to accomplish two things. One, making the numbers more prominent or more visible. Two, just announcing the address. So you can see there's some tie back to the existing street signage where you have that four square kind of wayfinding element that's tying back to the neighborhood. And then the idea behind there being two different colors is that you could have one color at one number and another color at another number, and if you were to work your way towards the middle, it would be a way to blend the two. So that the building would universally, it would combine both, but you'd have a subtle wayfinding differentiator between the two entryways.
Just a point of clarification again, the three buildings as you're marching down A Street, left to right, it's 30, 20, 10, do I have that order correct?
Yes, I might have misguided you.
So left to right, 30, 20, 10. And then 30 and 10 are both going to get these double things, right? Two blade signs. And 20 is going to get a single one.
Actually, it should be, and this is part of the challenge. This is exactly the reason we're talking about this, is because I think it's been referred to as 30, 20, and 10 for so long, yet the formal lobbyways are only 20 and 10. So Google Maps, Uber, you name it, there's a general challenge with trying to figure out what number goes to what. So
that's why you asked that question.
Yes.
But 20 and 10 are the two.
20 and 10 are the formal, yes.
And then the
three-story building on the end, that I think it might have a mailing address that only Allie uses, but we've been, it's been referred to as 30B in some conversations.
So how is quote unquote 30, that first building in the row 3, how is that, what's the address there? If it's not 30, check.
So it's currently occupied by one tenant that it's referred to also as like an annex space. It just runs off of their current space right now. So they use Rulala. Yep. So they use 20 Channel Center as their identifying address.
Sort of an extension.
Yep.
As you get to their space,
be 20 lobby numbers.
Yeah.
All right, I got lost in the weeds here. So what, of these three facades that I'm seeing here, this is number what?
That's number 20.
20, mm-hmm. And then this one is what?
That is a non-address, that's just a building identifier.
And
so
this
that
is?
That would be 10.
So where's 30?
Well, you're kind of saying it doesn't really exist.
There's no such thing.
Yeah.
So what, this building, the middle building is part of what? Are they joined floors somewhere, or what's the deal there?
Yes, a lot of those floors are contiguous through and through. So it's actually, if each of those three bays were broken up into two, you're talking about six floor halves, and office spaces will go through them. So this was done in early 2000s.
But through to both sides, or one side only? What? What's the deal? This is not its own separate building.
Correct.
Not on the inside.
Not on the inside. Yeah. There have been cut-throughs through there.
So Rulala needed a lot more space, I think, initially. The middle one at that time.
So how does one doesn't enter this building at all? There's no way to, if you want to go here, this is your office there. Where do you got to enter one of these here?
That is correct. There have been openings through the party walls from either side, depending on where you're.
So if no one's going into the middle building, what's the sign for?
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, so they are accessing the middle of the building, but it just doesn't have its own unique.
Right, so why do you have to, why do you want to have a sign on that middle building if there's no entry there? Because in other words, if somebody's off, Joe Schmo's office is in this middle building, they're going to either use 20 Channel Center or 10, or 10 A Street or 20 A Street, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the 20 lobby, the middle lobby is one of our main lobbies.
Yeah.
It's the one on the end that isn't a lobby.
Right.
Does that clarify?
I mean, but there's still a door to
yeah.
get in. People will use this door to get into the buildings.
But
they
not
won't.
A lot. It's mainly like a stairwell. A couple people use it throughout the day. It wouldn't be a main point of entrance.
Well, then why would you put a sign if it's not a main point of entrance?
Because I think what we were looking at is just from overall like neighborhood wayfinding, mm-hmm. thinking of that as a building locator. So like, you know, if you have the innovation and design building, and they have 10, 20, 30, 40, there's an overall building identity, but then there's the kind of the thresholds at each entry point.
But isn't there also meant to be a little bit of symmetry in these plate signs, so 2, 1, 2, marking down the street, right? Even though, mm-hmm. even though the first day wasn't forget them, chance for the leftmost of the three really just has kind of utility entrance, but it's not a
this one.
Right.
Yes. That's really not where, you know, here's the lobby of where you're gonna be, Uber's gonna take you. It's those other two.
Correct.
Alright, so but overall, to answer your next question, the reason there are two blade signs on the left side is just again to create some sort of symmetry down the whole length of the
But you could also do one on each.
You do one.
Well, but I mean my point is the one on the left side is number 20.
Right.
That has an address. The one on the far right has an address. The one in the middle doesn't.
But the one in the middle is one of the main entrances.
But there's no entry there in the middle.
Yeah.
Well,
I asked about that. You said there's no door.
No, let me just let me back up because we might have all got each other confused.
Yes.
So there in the middle, there's no formal elevator lobby.
Oh, got it. That's the...
So the space is occupiable and accessible on every floor from either side. There's no connection to the street in the middle.
All right, so nobody enters this, even though there looks like there's doors here.
Right, and those are more
emergency
utilitarian access.
Would it be fair to say that that would be an employee entrance and the other two would be a guest entrances?
Yeah, I mean, I think those doors are actually part of egress stairs. So
nobody goes in here.
Okay.
Yeah. Nobody goes in the middle.
And if you try to get out of
Most everybody goes into number 20. A few people will go into number 10. That's what I understand. Now.
Okay.
So I understand that the need to, if these actually are the only two buildings that have the actual address by the post office, then you know that's fine to say to do something to articulate those address numbers because. Well, like you meant, you said an Uber. If you're in an Uber, you come from the airport, you're going to tell them, even though your office is in number 10, you're going to tell the Uber to bring you to number 20 because that's the only way to get into your more or less. I mean, I suppose they.
That's part of the confusion. Yes.
All right. So then, so that's that. Then this middle sign. So these will have Channel Center plus the address number 20. These will have Channel Center plus number 10 mm-hmm. on it, and this is just going to say you just.
Channel Center.
Channel Center only.
That's no, right here.
So, I mean, I guess that's the part that seems a little unnecessary, but and I think it just brings further attention if you got rid of that to these two end one, you know, to each one, unless you think there's well, I suppose in the future that ever opens up. Yeah.
And they're 34 feet high.
Yes. Yes, when we get into, Susan, I'm glad you brought up the question about the medallions. We were looking at the overall scale of the sign because we were nervous about the size of it. And we were looking at how it related to the first floor and the window lines. And, you know, when we were looking at, I think I included, we were looking at other examples in the neighborhood. I mean, this is on the backside. This was a building, you know, right behind and you can see how they're kind of right in the middle of that first row of windows on the upper floor. This is down Thompson Place. It was a similar thing. I think it's fair to say that this is a newer installation. So when we're looking at that, that's when we were looking at the placement of these, trying to shift them down, bringing them down closer to the street, just to bring more acknowledgement that sometimes was the initial thought.
Yeah, they are where they are.
I mean, I think it's, yeah, I think, you know, they were probably put up there because that's what Boston Wharf used to like to do, and then they might have changed their mind and they started doing it to the other buildings differently. But I think it's better to leave them alone.
Okay.
And it tells the story.
Move on to the banners themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
they're not banners.
They're
not banners, right?
Right. They're blade signs.
They're
right.
It says banner here, so that's
the banner would imply flat and blade.
Implies
protrusion.
Right.
They will be metal.
They're metal. They're not anything canvassy or anything, right? They're permanent. Material. Permanent metal.
The posts projecting from the building are metal.
Yeah.
And the actual material, we were thinking about canvas initially.
But okay, so I see, because I see a box form. Like what? I'm looking in plan view here, right?
That would actually be
that's
more of a section.
Section detail.
Yeah,
okay.
So that what you're seeing.
Oh, I see. This is a section through the metal.
And now you're seeing the bottom of it and how the tension fittings work.
So, where would the in this view, which is an elevation, where is your material going to go from this point up, or
yes,
from this point up? You don't show, you do show this umbrella fabric. I see. So this umbrella fabric is here,
correct,
and there, and here, and there, and up.
Right, so it fastens at the bottom. There's a reveal at the corner for the tension fittings, and then the cables will pick up the slack on the side.
Nick, do you have the guidelines for signage materials?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
Is that in section 10.5?
I mean, I think
maybe. Do you know that by heart already?
B. I was doing my homework because I knew you guys knew your stuff.
So while he's verifying that, the scale of the signs, I have an issue with anything that goes higher than two floors. March down Congress Street, you can see the one exception that somehow, well, actually, didn't, it wasn't, it was a violation. Residence Inn, they went three stories.
And that's good to know.
Anything else has been two stories or less.
Okay.
Significant. So, that drone's eye view of the three blocks, okay, from Summer Street Bridge, it's the only real functional place you're able to look across to see it. And when GE builds a new headquarters, you probably won't be able to see the wall. In any event, the view of my building, you've got two-story packs, as a wayfinder on a relatively narrow view corridor down A Street, that's the
so
there's nothing else there, nothing with writings until God knows what the parking lot is going to go. So you're not going to need a massive thing to tell an Uber, oh, by the way, that's not happening. And just to keep it within, again, the general standard of scale of what we're going for.
Okay.
That's 1 minute.
Yeah.
No, I would agree with that.
So when you're talking two stories, you're saying limit it to in this zone here, the middle two stories.
And that's something I think if we were to go back and look at where the medallions are currently, and keep that two stories in mind, we might have a different elevation.
Right.
So that this is the other thing I want to understand. So the medallion on this building is currently here, and this arrow says you want to move it here?
Yes.
Why would you do that? I was surprised, because I would think the medallion is in the center of your entry announcement. I would think it would be better left here for that one, certainly. This one here, well, if you shorten this up to, well, see, that's the thing, that's going to be awkward here. I would think we'd want these to all be aligned.
Yeah, which is a little challenging.
So it's going to be here, this is now going to be three floors. Is that really what we'd be looking at? Is that much of a difference?
On the right-hand side of that elevation, we have the number 10. You have a seven-story structure. On the left-hand side, number 20, it's a six-story. So there's differential floor to floors, and And believe me when I say we were trying to respect symmetry and aligning things, and this is part of.
Well, I think you can do that. I think if you.
I don't mind the hodgepodge.
Well, I don't know how we got there.
I think we're going to leave them where they are. So, you know, so
I mean, I think
the fact that they're kind of randomly placed historically, just live with it.
I think you could still do it, because in other words, if this end one has the three stories, you limit it to the tops of the windows and the sill of the windows, okay? And that becomes the line that you then strike all the way across, which then looks like it would fall to the two stories here. You see what I'm saying?
You limit this, you use
this one as the guide and use these three stories, but have it limited to the top, the lintels roughly, or a little above the lintels, a little below the sill, and then strike that line across. You'll probably then be at the two story point there.
So they might have different relationships, but
the signs will be the same. Because I think that's the point. You know, these facades are sort of, they do look the same, and I think that's is a good thing. In other words, there's a continuity here. I never would have noticed this, for as a matter of fact, that this is seven stories and that's six stories. That's just because of the repetition and the continuity of everything. So to now start changing the size of the sign, now you're gonna see that. I think that, and so I think if you want this to feel like a group of something that has its own identity, I think the identity signs ought to be the same.
Okay, follow that logic.
So, yeah.
And scale-wise.
So, yeah. So the question is, because of the materials that the banners are made out of, would we consider these permanent or temporary?
Well,
because there are different standards for permanent and temporary.
I think that it's...
Well, I don't... I think temporary signage is restricted to, like, rental and... Right?
Yeah, or seeing things that are plastered against the building to talk about the leasing opportunities and that sort of thing. I think these are considered permanent. Yeah.
Okay, so in that circumstance, one of the criteria is all the projecting signs that you're proposing have to be in relationship to the entrance of the building.
Okay.
So is this one appropriate when it's not in relation to an entrance?
Right, so that's why I'm leaning towards getting rid of that in the middle altogether. And just have these two, because this is really the purpose you want it to serve. You want it to announce what it is, the channel center, but you also want it to point to an entrance. And I think this will do it, and this gets in the way of being something else then.
And material on the, Nick, on the signage?
It doesn't specify what they need to be made out of.
I'm not a fan of the canopies.
You're not a
It's kind of an unusual
canopy.
But
choice for a permanent sign, canvas, isn't it?
You said not fan of the canvas or canopy?
Canvas.
Yeah, I mean, what is it?
I mean, when we say canvas, I know there's a couple different options.
Is it vinyl canvas?
There's more of a fabric-oriented, which will probably weather, I guess, from anything. And then there's various grades of like a vinyl-coated canvas where you can get different gauges, some of the perforations, and that's the part where I think we were looking for more of the final approach, so there's a coating that'll hold up to weather and last longer.
Well, there's not gonna last that long though.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you
think you gotta bring it into us then when you come in to show us what you're planning to do. But I mean, I think it's gonna have a shelf life, right? Probably this will, whatever it is, has a 20-year lifespan or something, and then you gotta deal with changing it.
Well, yeah, and sorry, I misspoke a little bit, but the hotel, as canvas signs as well, and they function. They're too big, but they do function as a sign. As a
and how long have they been up?
Since the hotel.
Yeah.
So about 5 years now.
Yeah, about 5 years. Yeah. So I mean, I'm not. I take back what I said about not being a fan. if we get the scale right, if we get the design right, how do you guys feel about this?
Well, the graphics, yeah. I mean, I thought I was looking at that. I think I definitely don't like this one here. That kind of is difficult to read. I think for me, I mean, I hate to get to that micro design level, you know, but.
But the point is to read them. So. Why did you choose this one? Because it would be really hard to read.
That's something where we're actually working with working with the leasing team as well. I mean, it's not just a matter of architects dropping something on there. I mean, there's a whole bunch of branding dialogue that's going along. So we wanted to show you where we're at and trying to get a sense of what your thoughts are on either proportions or colors or fonting. I mean, there's so many layers of information that go in here. It could probably be its own thing.
I mean, these seem so garish in contrast to the, you know, simple, the ultimate industrial simplicity of that facade. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even look at the plaques next to the entries. Those are perhaps too subtle, but, you know, I mean, that's the direction that I would go for in terms of design. Big red. You know,
mm-hmm.
Red,
I mean, this one kind of looks, I think this one appeals to me more here.
It's getting a little.
If you wanted to bring in the blue as far as your identity. And
red's
then,
kind of an unusual
and then
color
if,
for a brick building.
Well, I mean, and then I was going to say if you wanted to bring your number in, then your number would go down in this space here, get rid of the squares. But I mean, or now this one just says 10 channels. Is that something you're looking to say? You're just wanting.
Well, so you know, the way this particular sheet was set up was if you look at the two on the left. Those were the identifiers over the
entry. Oh, for the, and this is supposed to be it.
One in the middle that was going to unify everything together. So I think it might actually simplify things if, you know, if we were to focus on.
Oh, so these were intended to be the three pieces. Well, maybe not. But I see what
so
this
what's
is.
The difference between initial design options and current design options? Are both of these before us, or is this not?
I would say that if you're looking at where we're at now, the page you're on, is kind of what we were thinking in terms of there being, you know, it's capturing the logo imagery associated with the direct neighborhood, having a prominent number associated with it, having a channel, you know, it doesn't say full-on channel center, but just a shorter version, so that's an address, and then over the doorway, whereas the channel center, the full version, would have been over the middle of the building. So you can see the difference between the page you're on now and the next page is that, you know, we had taken on the considerations of the fonts, the scaling, too much color, too much white space, too small a number, too bold a logo, and tried to, you know, adjust it to something that was less harsh.
And this is your logo, this box?
Yeah, that's punched through on several of the
buttons
we designed. Barrington Coffee, and then the Morris Place across the street.
Yep.
So right here, Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
It's starting there. And heading out Congress towards the city. The other way.
No. So you go to the right and go down Congress?
Go to the right, yeah.
Oh, go to the right?
Yeah, down Congress. So you see row 34. Back up for a second, sorry.
Or just
row 34, late sign.
Oh.
Oh.
Right? That's only
I got
story.
You. It's a single
it's
story.
Very, you know, minimalist. Blends in, but yet it's very striking.
Nobody has trouble finding it.
No, exactly. So, okay, so back, you know, let's head back down to Congress.
Down Congress?
Down.
Towards the city, yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Perfect, John. You know, there you go. All right, just step right down there. And we have there, let's see. Residence Inn is down there a little ways.
Yeah, once you get to the Thompson Place, what do you actually see it?
Yeah, is Cafe Nero even in this yet? I don't think it is.
The awnings, maybe. Do they have vertical? I thought they just had the blue and black.
Maybe they just, yeah. But there you can see on the right, you can see the Residence Inn.
Ah, okay.
Right. Yeah.
So
that's a two-story.
Yeah. There's Barrington. Yeah, Barrington's red and white. All right. There's
so those are all two stories.
FB3, you know, meant to be very subtle, very much. Not contrast with the palette of the brick and the metal of MV3, the building itself. It's been around again. We'll wander a little further down.
Down here further?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
burn some of this house. Oh, wow. It's this place. I'm sure what happened there. I know.
Weird.
It's crazy.
I hate to live on the first floor. There's 10 chances.
But I'm glad you pointed out the FB3 because we were having the same conversation and we were talking about this together. As you know, you think about the Barrington Coffee font, and you know, not saying anything other than there's a difference between how that reads versus the FB3, where there's a lot of information in FB3. There's, you know, there's a website, there's contact info, there's address, whereas Barrington Coffee is just one name.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we were thinking, well, what are we trying to accomplish on these? How much content do we want? It's really just an address. We don't want there to be, you know, rent here now. This isn't that type of situation.
No,
it's just
front door. And I appreciate that. That's been kind of...
Yeah. So, so it sounds like these graphics are doing what you want it to, which is just giving the address. They're not loaded up with stuff. But
is the color scheme part of the branding of the building as well? The red, blue, and white? Or?
We're trying to, like, further clarify the branding, yeah, but not currently.
It was meant to be sort of eye-catching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, I mean, realistically, we want to point out that we're looking at the Pantone colors, trying to really understand, you know, the legitimacy of this. We're not just throwing up and picking a random Photoshop color. And we are trying to work with the leasing team to say, hey, I want to make sure this doesn't look like it's 2016. I don't know if we can do an exact copy of 1928, but, you know, we're trying to find something that's respectful color-wise that pops while supporting, you know, complementing the brick.
But you're probably going to, I mean, the final color will depend on what this branding and the branding answers are, right?
Yeah.
So this may change.
Which is why I think we're in here initially to say, okay, this is as far as we've gone. Mm.
I mean, to me, it seems if you want these to serve as the address, I think these are the way to go. With the number is the more prominent piece to it. So I mean, I'm okay with.
You don't mind the color?
No, I honestly don't. I mean, I'm not one that is. You know, I know there's always a lot of talk about the colors that are used on banners. This is subtle. If it was a garish color, I'd have an issue with it. You know, the red is kind of ties into the brick, and the blue is dark blue. I don't have that much of an issue with it. I mean, if you later you feel the branding is going to change when you come before us and you want to change the colors, we should see that, I think.
I agree. This one is zero.
I mean, I think that feels the way to go, and then maybe you take the box down or the box away and have the number somewhere, you know, down here or up there, but or the graphics for here if you just want to have the word channel. I don't know if that's going to confuse people or not, but I think these are great because you see the number right away, 10 and 20. Actually, this is what's odd is that this is not the name of the street. Channel Center Street is the backside. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the front, so the address is actually 10 A Street, right?
No, it's 241 A Street,
yeah.
I think.
Jesus.
Yeah.
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 Welcome to our world.
Yeah. So, because the artist co-op down the street is 319 A. So, yeah.
Right.
Plus, is that sidewalk ever going to be widened there? I can't remember what it's literally like a person and a half wide. Two people cannot walk down.
Right, it's like 36 to 42.
In front of this massive building.
Oh, and there's
a pile of snow too. It's one. Yeah, yeah.
All right, so let me just to clarify again. Number 10. If I want to put a piece of mail, I want to drop it in the mailbox, and I want to send it to somebody who works at that building on the far left. I would address it to Joe Schmo at 10 Channel Center in Boston, or would it be some other A Street address?
No, so the post office uses 10 and 20 Channel.
Channel
Center.
All right. So that's okay. So the address should Channel Center is appropriate
even
then,
though
it's on A Street.
Yeah.
Okay, because you said the front doors are on the other side of the building. That's basically the front. So all right. So this is, I understand that. So.
I don't know if any of this has been helpful.
Well, I just think what's gotta be looked at clearly, if we want these to be kind of two stories-ish, you know, you gotta look at it again and make sure that now, if we say leave the medallions where they are, that they're not going to, like, I think this one on the far, I think leaving it here, this is where the existing medallion is on this building, right?
Yeah.
And that's fine, that should stay. This building, the center one, has it where? Just up?
But there's not going to be a sign on the center building now,
No, 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 I know, but this one is fine. Where is the medallion? You were wanting to move this medallion. Where is it now?
Those two were a little, they were further up. I think they were in that,
all right,
that
so
horizontal.
Somewhere here. Okay, so then where are you planning to move the one that's on this building? Or is there none on this building?
There is one on that, and that one is over, like, underneath this.
See, that's where I'm getting at. That's what I'm saying. It's going to be an issue where, if this is where, it's going to be right in the way of this banner. So I think we got to look at that again and see if we keep that there, then these banners have to be, they're going to have to be foreshortened, and that means they're going to fall somewhere.
Well, but why can't? How close together are the banners? Are they like one?
One bay, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I have, you know, I am completely against moving the medallions for any reason whatsoever. I just think that's an essential part of the meaning of the exteriors of these buildings.
It's curious as to why they put it there when they did, though. I don't know why they didn't center it. So that's got to be, I think it has to be studied then. If we were moving this now, how do we achieve what you're wanting to achieve, keeping it two stories? Tom, you seem to think that doesn't matter if they're different sizes?
The banners?
Yeah.
No, they should all be identified.
They should, okay, yeah, I heard you say
two
they
stories.
Should. Yeah, so
this,
how do we achieve that? Getting them all at the same size, roughly in the same position, or that's the part that you thought didn't matter if they're in the same different positions?
You know, if the idea conceptually is to highlight the entrance, right? So isn't that kind of what you've achieved?
Yes.
There? Regardless of the scale of the size, that's, you've got it centered there, that particular bay is right above the door. So, you know, off your own. I think that's fine. We can talk color palette. Just one more brief moment. This kind of snowed me a little bit because I thought this might end up being the color palette.
Okay.
I actually think it's kind of attractive for against the dark gray.
Or a white room.
Sort of-ish.
Oh.
I don't know exactly what it is. That would not be offensive to me if I saw them kind of signs up there. Kind of a very, very tasteful, dark, you know, royal, you know, red. This other stuff. Sorry,
Mark,
reminds me of Residence Inn. I don't think you guys.
I don't want to go there. You want to be cool. I don't think you
feel
about that one.
Right. So something. Do you guys get my point there?
I do. I mean, I think
much, much more tasteful, classic color palette. Maybe something. I kind of like the States region. Mishmash. A lot of people here. Very good. Exercise that. Anyway.
So I think.
Sorry.
What we would do is, the reason we brought that in, that type of image in, where we have the contrasting, which is the monochrome background and the color there, is just to show that we were focusing on the proportion. And I think, you know, we wanted to advance that to more photorealistic stuff in the next round.
Okay. So it just repurposed.
Yeah, not the same
color. Rain, end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have a preference for one color versus like the two entry colors?
I personally don't, but I don't know if the other commissioners have some.
I mean, I think your branding may determine some of that anyway, so.
Sorry, when you say two colors meeting?
Red and blue on one side?
Yep.
No. But again, the design of them, of all four of those banners, is going to be
consistent. Yeah.
The only difference is you know, 10 versus 20.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Anything on fonts? Too much.
I mean, I think it's simple. Yeah.
Simple.
These fonts are all look like they're the Arial, most of them anyway. But which is simple. The thing I suppose I react most against is this the off balance of the 10 here. I don't. That doesn't seem to have anything to do with anything there.
On that particular
on,
sheet?
On letter B. On letter okay. B, yeah, yeah. You got the address is kind of skewed.
Yeah, that's why we moved on from that as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like something in this case.
Mistake. So. I'm just trying to think if you felt you wanted to get two colors, you guess it would look strange if you had one color on one side and another color on the other side.
And you know, just one little, scenario: fall afternoons, as the sun is setting a lot earlier and earlier. If you walk across that Summer Street Bridge from South Station and look at that tableau of those structures that go on there, it's one of the most beautiful, stunning sights in the city.
Oh, honestly, yeah.
You're literally back in the 19-teens. You know, it's,
yeah, the building rates are 250 Summer, 253 right in the corner, and if you get one of those afternoon rays, yeah, the dark sky.
The dark sky and then the sun, yep, sort of, brilliantly on that brick. It really is breathtaking for me. That's one of the reasons why I love that neighborhood so much. So hence my desire for something that really, you know, obviously draws your attention to it, and I totally get that need, but does it in a forcefully subtle way.
To get back on the graphics, I guess as I'm looking at this now, if I have to give another reaction that I'm having, I would say, to me, what I think I prefer is to have the banner have the solid color and the white lettering versus having any white space. Like these are especially these here, it's mostly white, these banners with just the lettering. And then I think I like having the whole banner have the color and then just the white for the digits.
Yeah, those are definitely nicer.
Yeah, and then say certainly not these as I'm looking at now, because then these are actually will be white on the building, and this, yeah, and then these I don't. Yeah. Is that enough to?
It's
kind of like all over.
It's all the stuff we were expecting in terms of why we're here, because there are so many variables that we. Before we got any further, we knew we had to do it.
And one last comment here. The metal is going to be what, painted, or is it stainless?
Yeah, I think we would want to paint that, and we would.
So that's what you're proposing, to have it be.
I wanted to say black, but I think this building has a predominantly like a slate gray with a.
All right, charcoal is fine. Yeah, or charcoal is fine too. Yeah, so that wouldn't do the bronze. So yeah.
Maybe would you be able to switch back to the
Oh, I see. The windows have like a charcoal-y gray color.
Yeah, that maybe we just switch to here real quick. So you can see it has that cool, like a blue undertone in terms of an industrial gray.
Yeah, I guess I could.
So, you know, we'd have to get a color swatch and just see if that makes sense to put it on. Mm-hmm.
Metallic.
Yeah, all right. Any other?
Last and final. Color palette sort of input, maybe, you know, at the opposite end of the spectrum, something more metallic, like this anodized, you've got the signs, the
silvers and grays or something.
Or grays. I don't know if you can do that in Canvas, but ideally it would be kind of cool to have metallic, a metal sign, metal blades, marching down to mimic the steel that's underneath this brick.
Sure. And just so you know, we did put a little thought into that, but I think our concern was the difference in the weight of the material. And you know, initially we were talking about a taller span, so we were nervous about wind loads and stuff. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking about shorter banners, we'll take a look at it.
Yeah. Just a thought.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
And there's only one person in the public, but you have a comment?
With them.
Oh, you with them.
Yeah, that wouldn't be fair.
You can still comment if you want.
All right, so no public comment. All right, so if you have enough to go on, I hope we didn't confuse too much here. But
anything is better than nothing, so I think all that was helpful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
No. Good. Much later night than this.
So, we have to vote to review.
I hope so.
We have to review and ratify the minutes from June 14. Do we have a motion to approve?
Well, I wasn't here, so I probably shouldn't make a motion.
I will make a motion to approve that.
Okay, and I'll second.
Thanks, Nate. Okay.
So, good. So, we all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Just, you know, Robert's rules. All right, so then do we have any staff updates or anything? Or?
Yeah, so there's just one quick thing for you and Tom. So we need to do the subcommittee for
Thompson Place, which Nate is also involved in. So we need to, when are you guys available to do this?
Well, I'm actually only here this week, and then I'm off all next week. So,
okay.
But then at least, so it's got to, if I'm going to be, it'll have to be the
you're
weekend.
You're only here tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Okay.
It's really.
I mean, you can wait till after.
Are they up now?
They're up. You're fine, Nate.
Well,
yeah, thanks. Yeah.
On the Thompson Place inside. Yeah.
What's that?
They just have like a single example.
There's a single example. If you remember, there were some issues with some of the trim, then they kind of looked a little artificial last time.
Right.
But
well, the shutters, yeah, they had the right pattern, but they were not, they were, the folds were not tight enough. They were kind of rounded.
Yep.
And they had a weird shadow line they were creating.
Yeah, so they made some improvements to that. And they were able to get some of the historic pictures, and they did this cool feature where they can see the actual seams.
Yeah.
So they use that, and they've integrated that into the...
All right, that's the way to do it, yeah, because they were just too rounded, the folds. And well, so there is a prototype up
there
now.
There's a prototype up now,
all right. So what you're saying, we have to do an official meeting, a subcommittee meeting?
Yeah, because the last time was also a subcommittee meeting, so we have to, that was
so it's got to be advertised and everything, so it's going to have to be when I get back.
Okay.
I mean, because you can't do it in time for tomorrow.
No.
Right?
Nope, 48 hours.
When are you back?
Off? 1 week or two?
I'm off the 1 week. I could be two, but I'll do the one.
Oh, wow.
Oh, take two, David.
What the heck, yeah.
So what I guess we'll say, where's my calendar here? Just let me see the week after that. So we will be July. So I'm
23rd.
Off from the 16th to the 20th. And so
23rd
is, 23 is open. That's a Monday.
Okay.
Tuesday, we have the BLC at 6, so that's no big deal. So, actually, let's do it there because I will be definitely. So, in other words, if I decide to stay till Monday, I could do that. And,
mm-hmm.
and I've got to be back on Tuesday for the BLC design
okay.
review. So, that.
Wednesday then?
Tuesday would be. No,
Tuesday,
I'm saying Tuesday the 24th would be a good day
okay.
to do it.
And then, so I'm free all day, so whatever time works for you.
It's good for you to do it for.
You know what? I am pretty much out of pocket after about 1 o'clock, so noon.
Yeah,
you do noon.
That's fine.
Okay. Perfect.
So,
please not.
What is the address for that?
It's Thompson Place.
Yeah.
What's the address here?
What day is?
30.
30.
Yeah, 30 Thompson.
Oops.
And then, okay. Yeah.
I think I need to do this. Will you send us an invitation?
Yes, of course.
Oh.
Yep. Cool.
All right. And so that's it. I'm sorry, we said it's noon?
Yep.
So, 12 p.m.
Any progress on the vacancy?
The banners?
No, the vacancy on the
people vacancy.
Mission.
I don't want to talk about it. The answer is no.
Well, I mean, we could have had a problem tonight.
You could have.
Yeah. Well. We can't do it with two, huh? Yeah.
No, it's a subcommittee.
No.
I mean this tonight.
Oh yeah, no, quorum is three. Oh. Yeah.
So, what are there nominees in the pipeline?
There are a lot. There are at least for Fort Point. There are at least 10.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really.
So where is it getting stuck?
The mayor's office.
So you guys have already, but I mean, don't you guys have to narrow it to like one or two and then give it to the mayor?
The mayor does that.
He does the first breakdown?
Mm-hmm.
He does what?
He does the first kind of cut?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they do background checks.
Yeah.
Kind of
make sure they're not criminals.
Like
exactly.
Terrorists and stuff.
That stuff, yeah.
But, okay, so what can we do?
We got a new chief in our department.
Well, you got a chief that already has a full-time job, though.
Right.
I mean, and he's a great guy, but he's already got a full-time job, and he just took on another one.
I mean, it seems like there's no difference in terms of being able to speed these things along. I don't know.
Well,
all over the years, it's the same story.
Right. And
no difference.
4.5 years, literally.
Yeah. Would it help? Did you all rank these people?
No, our responsibility is to advertise, collect, and submit. So that's all of our responsibility.
Anyway, and we've done the thing of involving the FPNA.
I don't mean that though, but I don't see.
We don't have to do that.
So you know, so you can't even pass if you just say this person has more qualifications than this one?
No, because the mayor wants that responsibility.
That's new then, because that wasn't the way it was before.
Yeah. I mean, it would make sense if we were able to narrow down the people that were the best qualified.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
This is a little bit of a sort of little favor for the staying in front of donors.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even think that's, no, I don't think that's what it is. I think it's that it's not a priority. And I think the problem is that my feeling has always been that this makes all of us look bad, that we have vacancies. It makes us all look bad.
It does.
There are long lists,
so,
particularly when there's people who want to do it.
Some of the issue that's coming up now is that we have the potential commissioners approaching people in the mayor's office. And so some of the neighborhood liaisons are now going to the mayor, and then he's pushing things through. So that's what just happened in Beacon Hill. So somebody approached the Beacon Hill neighborhood liaison, and that's now getting escalated.
So he narrows it, or he picks? In other words, does he give, say, oh, okay, I think these two are good. What do you think to the BLC or not?
I'm not sure about that. Yeah, from my understanding.
Well, of course, Beacon Hill is a different animal.
It is.
I mean, a totally different animal. It predates the commission. So if the rule in the other commissions is that it comes starts with the staff and goes to the mayor, then I think it starts with the staff. And if someone goes to the neighborhood liaison, that neighborhood liaison needs to send them to the staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So bottom
regardless,
line, it is what it is.
The city looks incompetent if they don't feel
well. It's embarrassing for our team too, because people are approaching us and our hands are tied. So we're every single staff meeting that we have, we ask Carl to kind of escalate this, and nothing happens. So I get it. We're just as frustrated. I mean, I guess when everyone starts getting pushed over to the BLC because we don't have quorums, then that would maybe escalate the issue a little bit more, right?
Well, we do. We get the ones from
Mission Hill.
Mission Hill, we get it.
Right, but there's so little going on there. Not that big a deal, right? I'll call the mayor.
But what happens when something like the South End gets pushed to BLC?
That's impossible.
Right.
That's impossible.
Right.
I mean, even the South End on its own is impossible.
Trust me, I know. It's my district also.
Oh, right. You
mean
you just got to vote for that.
I'll call the mayor's office. I mean,
please do.
It can't
By
hurt.
All means, it can't.
I'll just tell him that I'm concerned that we don't have a quorum, and that I'm worried that you know, it doesn't look good, and because it doesn't.
All right.
I'll do that.
Motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right.